points. Three points that are gonna get you to be that man. You have to be a man that answers the call upon your life. That's number one. There's so much opportunity for men to rise up. There's so much opportunity for men to rise up. Men that we need that are skilled in battle, gifts of the Spirit, anointed, set apart, part of the census. We scan our church and we say, what is our census? Where are the men? Where are they? And your names begin to be put on a piece of paper. Your name, your life can change over spaghetti, over a soda. Come on, we know, you know, if Pastor Sonny's having lunch with you, Pastor, you better be fasting, praying, and asking God for peace upon your life, because over a soda, over, you know, Italian, come on, somebody. You could be going to a different country. You could be going to a different state. Come on, somebody. You know the truth. Let's be real, right? But we got to be men that are willing to answer the call. Not men that cry at the altars. That's good. God's doing surgery in your hearts. I've been to so many men's retreat. And it was those special men's retreat where every time I came down with the promise, I came down with the new vision, I came down with the marching orders, I came down with direction. And every step that I took, it was a God-stepped, ordained step. Because I knew, and it was something that I heard from the day that they were testifying to me, you know that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And I was like, really? Man, I thought I was destined to nothing. My teacher always told me that. My primos, you know, everybody told me I was going to amount to nothing. But you're telling me that I have a plan and a purpose for my life? Let me see. I'll follow you. Where are we going? We walked into a victory outreach and the presence of God was so heavy. The anointing, I cried like a little girl. And it was something that I hadn't done in years. And God began to do something. Are you going to be that man that answers the call? Second, you have to be available. There has to be an availability in your life. See, your best ability is your availability. Your best ability is your availability. I got nothing, Pastor. Would you just be there? Just show up. I remember being in so many services. I remember one time I was new in the church. I think I was about a month. And we had Pastor Sonny Jr. come. And he began to move in the spirit. And the ushers, he was slaying people on the floor. And then he's up on the platform and he starts slaying the worship team. So there I am on the floor and I'm catching people. And praise the Lord, amen. And then I see, because, you know, mama didn't raise no fool. Because, you know, so when I seen him going to the worship team, I got up on the platform and I start catching people. And then he goes, okay, you go get that guy. And I'm getting this guy and so forth. Then at the end of the service, he goes, good job. And I said, amen. He goes, how long have you been doing this? That's my first time. What? Yeah, Pastor, I'm two and two. It's not four. You know, it's four. You know, praise the Lord. Man, you should be the head. You know, if they call me, if they put a weapon in my hand, I'll do it. Pastor Sonny was like, what? I met it. Yeah, I just because I was there. Just because I was there. Pastor Tom one time, he's like, I need men and this and that. He goes, where are the men that want to testify? Man, and I felt the Holy Spirit grab me. I grabbed that mic and I began to testify. Just because I was there. You're here this morning to hear the battle cry. You're here this morning to hear your children. Dad, you got to make it. Your wife's telling you, babe, you got to make it. Your pastor's saying, you got to catch it. You got to be that man. Availability. Your best ability is your availability. Third is trusting God by faith. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. See, this morning we're calling for men that live by faith. That walk by faith, not by what's going to happen. Give me the whole breakdown. Brother, sometimes we don't even know the breakdown. Sometimes you want 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and we only got one. We're like, what are we doing? We're fighting. What what's after that? We're gonna gather the spoil. We don't know. We just say, God said march. When God told the Israelites to come out of Egypt and they faced the Red Sea, it was there that they feared. They feared Pharaoh, and God says, I'm gonna do a miracle. So he parts the Red Sea. And then we see him at the Jordan in the same scenario. See, God parted the Red Sea to show a miracle. But when he parted the Jordan, it was a promise. See, because when you step out, see, that's why he showed him the provision and the promise. See, the Red Sea was a miracle and the Jordan was a promise. He says, I promised you, I've given you an inheritance. But many of us, we don't want our inheritance. Many of us, we squander our inheritance. And God is saying, I'm about to break revival in the Rio Grande. See, I'd rather speak life into our circumstance than death. I'd rather say, I need revival. Our region needs revival. Our pastors need revival. Our marriage needs revival. See, we need people that speak life into our circumstance. Say, where's my inheritance? Where's my mountain? Give me my mountain. Some of our members didn't even come up. Some of our men, not the mighty men of valor, but the men said, oh, my job. I was talking to a friend of mine, and he said this. He says, I'm about to retire. I retired a while back. And a year ago, I retired. I said, it's the greatest thing you can ever do. See, I thank God that I never lived my job, that I never put God before my job. Said all the time, they said, we got a retreat. We got this, we got that. I was there. And I thank God that I never said, my job doesn't allow me. I would go without time, paid time, any kind of time. I was there on time. See, God is calling a census in our region. I want to share something real quick. Right there in our city, beginning to meet a lot of pastors. And this pastor, he's like, I want to invest in your home. I want to do things in your home. I said, God bless that. He went to his mother church, and I'm not going to say no names, but if you give me $100, I might tell you. So he goes, and his pastor advised him not to. And you know, that's cool. You know, we all have our orders. And he told me not to, because in your homes, you guys have mafiosos in there. Guys that hide there. You have you're integrated. And he goes, you know that you've been scammed by the FBI? And I said, what? I said, yeah, you've been profiled. I said, what? He says, yeah, we profiled you. He's connected there. He goes, we profiled you. You're okay. And I said, well, yeah, I know I'm okay. But I got a spiritual, like, you know, provoke, man. I said, what you doing, Willis? Looking at me like I don't know. And I said, you bet there's mafiosos within our congregation. God has set free drug addicts, gang members, men that were lost, men that were hurting. You bet we have the worst of the worst, but they become, we do a census when they do that year program. We do a census 6 months, 3 months, and we see the change. We see the call upon their lives. And God says, use that man of valor. Send him. And I said, you bet that we do have those type of men. God's called us to the inner cities. God called us to the worst places. And I was like pumped up. And I said, he goes, isn't it funny that one of the smallest churches in Azusa has been profiled? I said, yeah. And God said, you're like Israel, man, surrounded amongst their enemies. Yet all eyes lie on you. You think you're not being watched. You think that when that war cry, when that trumpet sounds, you think that when that trumpet sounds, the eyes aren't watching you. You think that when that trumpet sounds, that there's not your family looking at you. You think that when that shofar sound comes, that there's not the city looking at you.
Are you going to go or are you going to stay? Blow that again. If you hear the sound, the battle cry, if you hear the shofar, if you hear the battle cry of the Rio Grande, are you going to be that man? We're looking for men that would hear the battle cry. Where are you? Where are you? I heard for a generation. I heard for your spouses. I heard for the fatherless homes. I thank God that I answered the call. My brother had been dead, had died a month when they asked me if I would go. And I was hurting. I was messed up. It wasn't a perfect time for me to answer the call. It was a time for me to mourn. It was a time for me to say, no, this is my time. But I saw, like Jesus said, I saw the multitudes without a shepherd, hurting, lost, and scattered. And I say, God, you gave me a promise that my brother would be in heaven. And that day when I went to Mexico and I prayed with him and he reconciliated his life, I led him back in the prayer of salvation. And God says, Was I not faithful? Was I not faithful? Do you hear that cry? Do you hear that trumpet sound? Do you hear the shofar? Do you hear the time that these microphones become a trumpet? Where are the men? Where are the mighty men of valor? Come on, as you stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Come on, just let God minister to you. Lift your hands up. Hear that battle cry. Hear that battle cry. Oh,